Amen. I want to talk about a replacement program. Amen. Can everybody say a replacement program? Say it one more time. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A replacement program. Amen. It is possible to have enemies on the down low. Amen. Who seeks to bring you down. Amen. And this program that I'm talking about is one where there can be existence without effectiveness. Amen. It's a program by which your enemy can allow you to be around, but there be no awareness of your aroundness. It is not a redemptive program, but it is a replacement program. Don't you hate it when you try to get something replaced and somebody replaces it with something else? You go to get your Goodyear tires put back on the car like it was when you bought it, and they want to put Uniroyals on the car. So, oh, that'll be okay. But that's not what was on the car. It's been replaced with something else. Oh, it'll keep it rolling, but it's still replaced. Don't you hate it when there's replacement in the government where they want to replace programs that have been beneficial to many who are in need of special programs, welfare programs? And not trying to endorse complacency, but I'm saying that it's when these replacement programs start popping up. Not only when you start talking about Goodyear and government, but when you start talking about God. Amen. It is a program by which God has put into place, but yet that program, instead of it being for redemption to save mankind, it is replaced with a program that is not effective. It's in existence, but it is not effective. It is around, but there is no real awareness of the what the actual program really is supposed to be or that it is all about. Amen. And it is a program that has moved in and replaced God's original intent. Amen. And we know that that is what we're talking about when we're talking about Christ must. We should be talking about Christ. Amen. But as we look at this program, first thing I want us to see is the problem. Amen. Why? Amen. Amen. Does God want to have this program It is because of the redemption of mankind. But what then is the problem with the program if it's such a good program? What is the problem with God's program? Well, Herod got a problem with it. Can everybody say Herod? Amen. Herod. Amen. You see, what we have to understand here this morning is that the problem is one of power. The problem is one of position. But the Bible did say in verse 1, when Jesus was born in the days of King Herod. You understand what I'm saying? Amen, 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 amen. There came wise men from the east asking about another king. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. You got a king clash here. Amen. You got a king that's being born and somebody in the office. And while they are in that office, they are trying to prevent somebody else from taking the office who really belong in the office. Amen. So the king, the King Herod, amen, is Jesus is a threat to the king. And what we find out basically is that this king was in office, King Herod was in office, and he was in office simply by the appointment of the Roman Senate. The Romans put him in office. In other words, the world put him in office. The world took over God's program. And they had a worldly king. And amen. Amen. He was appointed over the Jews by Rome. And although he did a few good things for the Jews to keep them quiet, they really didn't want him. They were really waiting on the right king. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They was waiting on the right king. Their appetites were wet with the waiting of the Messiah to come. Amen. 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 And we began to find out that every time somebody pop up, they thought that may be the one. Amen. That may be the one we're waiting on. John the Baptist came and he was out in the wilderness without a microphone, without a choir, without amen, a deacon's corner, without ushers at the door, without musicians, without a drum beat. And John the Baptist was out there in the wilderness, out there in the desert, out there in the dust. And he was preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Didn't need no mic. Amen. We got to have mics and all this kind of. He didn't need one. Amen. Didn't have no building. He was just out there drawing all these folk out there, just screaming out in the desert, repent. Then they said, well, you know, in Luke chapter 3, verse 15, they said, maybe John is the one. They thought John was the Messiah. They said, oh, there he is. That's him. That's the Messiah we've been waiting on. That's in John the Baptist. They were there. They were looking for somebody. Amen. And when you find in Mark 3:15 that they thought that John was the one. But even John was looking. John was looking for the Messiah. When John found himself in prison in Mark chapter 11, verse 3, we find out that John heard about the miracles of Jesus. And he says, are you the one? I mean, we waiting on the Messiah. Are you the one? Are you the promised Messiah that we've been waiting on all these years? Or should we just keep on looking? Amen. Have you ever been waiting for God to show up and he didn't show up when you wanted him to come? Have you got a witness? Somebody now might be waiting on God to do something, fix something. Amen. To help you in some way. And God is doing it in a different timing. Amen. Oh, you're going to be one frustrated saint trying to make God do things on your according to your time, because he knows too much. Your demands are based on limited knowledge, on what you know. But he knows a whole lot more than you know. And he knows when the timing is right. He knows when it's time to step in. He knows when it's time to answer your prayer. He knows when it's time to make a move. You're going to be running frustrated saint trying to get God to move when you want him to move. Because he's not going to do it. And just when you're about to give up, he steps in right in time. Amen. You just got to learn how to wait and wait on the Lord. Amen. If you was waiting on me, I understand why you have a problem. But it's no problem waiting on God. God knows everything. So the Jews were just waiting. They said, we're just waiting around here. We're waiting for the Messiah to show up. We've been waiting and waiting. And I just want to know, are you the one? I'm up here in jail. I'm having problems. You haven't been moving. I'm about to get my head cut off. Are you the one, or should we just keep on looking? Amen. God, John the Baptist himself was waiting. We look at the problem. The problem was one of power. Amen. Herod did not want. Amen. Herod was appointed by the Roman Senate, and so he was loyal to Caesar. But we find out in verse number 4 that what Herod did is he began to get the religious leaders, the chief priests, and the scribes together. And now you have those who are of Caesar's camp getting connected with the Sanhedrin's council. And so now religion and the world are in the bed together. Have you ever had a situation where religious and politics got in the bed together? Amen. When the world is courting the church, and now the church wants to go along with the world. Oh, I'm going to get to this sermon. I got to get to the end of this thing. Amen. 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 And we start to compromise. And you see, things had got, Herod was crooked, and the church leaders were crooked. And they were all getting together and making sure what God didn't want to happen, happen. Amen. They were there to thwart God's plan, God's program. And whenever the church gets too close to the world, amen, they start compromising. You ever got a witness? Amen. We started compromising, and we started trying to do the things of the world. And what had happened is Caesar and Herod and all the church leaders had gotten together. And, amen, they knew how they wanted things to go. And they wanted Herod in office, not Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I didn't get that right, but that's what they wanted. Amen. The church and the world start getting together, and some things get so crooked, and you get the politics in it. And then what God wants, amen, is not what they want. But then there's so much power, corrupt power and politics mixed in, until they just gonna go along with it and just forget about God. You know, there's a lot of folk that forgot about God. They have taken his church, they have taken the Christians, they have taken the leaders, they've just taken it all over, and the church has compromised. Oh, I don't know if I'm gonna get to this. The fact of the matter is that what happens when the world gets in with the church, and they all get together. And so Herod started gathering his information. He said, now, who is this? He says in verse number 3, where is this guy going to be born? Amen. Where should he be born? Where should the Christ child be born? He's getting all his facts together. And they said he's going to be born in Bethlehem, without a doubt. Amen. Bethlehem of Judea, according to verse 5. And he said, though thou be the least among the princes of Judah. Amen. Amen. There shall come out of thee a governor that shall do what? Rule my people. No, not my office. They're going to rule the Jews. I'm ruling the Jews. No, it's somebody else coming. Oh, you understand what the problem is? So Herod gets his little hands together, and he figured out how he's going to make things. He's going to work this thing out. He's doing his little, got a little investigation going on now. Amen. Herod is investigating this thing. He said, now, where is this child going to be born? Have we got a witness? And then in verse 7, he said, he called the folk along. He says in verse number 7, he says, now, when is the time? Tell me when you saw this star. Oh, yeah, the devil know how to sew things up. The church sometimes is sitting somewhere I'm not paying attention. But know this in life. Your enemy is always paying attention. Your enemies know everything. They watch everything. They watch your every move. The church sitting around having church and getting happy. But the devil is gathering the facts. And he's going to try to kill Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Your enemy. You got any? Your enemy, no. More than your friend. Your friend just, they don't worry about you. They ain't looking at you. But your enemy watching your every move. They watch everything. And they making sure that they come up with something that'll get rid of it. Get rid of Jesus. And he says, amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He says that he's in Bethlehem of Judea, and there's another king coming, king. Amen. and so he start. You see, when you talking about a replacement, it's not the same as a substitute because it yields different results. Amen. It's a slight nuance of a difference between it. It's not the same as a substitute. Because it's not going to do the same thing. It's going to do something slightly different. But it's going to be something uniquely and significantly different. Amen, amen. It's not like a substitute teacher. A substitute teacher going to show up and do the exact same thing that the teacher would do if they wasn't here. But this is not the same. This is not, amen, this is a replacement. Amen. This is a replacement of a whole different goal and intent, but yet it is maintains its image as if it's okay. Oh, and so what happens is you begin to find out that what happened is similar but different, and it keeps the program in place for commercial benefits. Have I got a witness? Amen. But while all at the same time, they cut the Savior's throat. Amen. I mean, the program is good. We can make money off the program. We can make money off of Christmas. We ain't got to necessarily, let them know that we're killing the Savior. We're going to keep as much as possible in order to have the program intact. But we're just going to replace the program. Amen. And it's going to be slightly different. But it's going to have a different end. But we're going to keep all the bells and whistles and let them be quiet. But little by little, we're going to delete Jesus out of it. We're going to kill him. We're going to get rid of Jesus. And they go search for the child. And that's what's happening today. Amen. Christmas. Amen. Is being slowly put to death. Amen. It's being slowly replaced because we know that Satan wants to kill Jesus, but Christmas is being slowly but surely it is being replaced right up under our noses. Amen. Christmas is changing. Have you noticed? Amen. And Satan has his plan together, and what he does is when you start replacing something, the first thing you got to do is you got to start getting rid of the name. Amen. Amen. We just amen. The name, they knew it was Jesus. It was at the very, he's in the very first verse, Jesus the Christ. They know who he is. But we got to blot out that name. And how many of y'all know that this, amen, they've tried to take Christ out of Christmas and put X in it. Amen. I tell your neighbor, they're trying to replace him. Don't you fool yourself. They are trying to replace him. There is a constant effort, amen, to take the history. Amen. It's really his story. But that what they're going to do is they're going, amen, it's really his story. It's Christmas. It's a story about him. It's really his. I got it on the board. His. It's his Christmas. But they're trying, slowly but surely, trying to delete the history out of Christmas and replace it with another one. Amen, amen. Amen. They're trying to take away the name, and we see the symbols being replaced. Amen. No longer the manger scenes. Amen. Yeah, I look from one store to another trying to find something about Jesus. You'll find any and everything. They sent me from this store to that store and to that store. Well, go over there. And he said, well, go over there because they got that is a Christmas institution. You can buy. Went over there, they didn't have anything. Jesus is slowly being deleted. You find elves and reindeers and snowmen and Santas and. I even found a penguin. Now they got a penguin coming in. I found a nutcracker. Now, I never even a nutcracker. What happened to the cast of Joseph and Mary? And where is the baby Jesus in the manger? What? Tell your neighbor he's being replaced. Amen. They are trying to replace Christmas right up under our noses. Little by little, there's an attack on the history of Christmas. You may not think it's important, but I'm here to tell you that, yeah, it's important. Oh, it's very important. Why is Christmas important? Can you think about the fact that Christmas is supposed to be a redemption program about the redeeming of mankind and saving people, and that somebody has come? Can you imagine what it would be like to find in a store scriptures, amen, from Isaiah 9:6? I tried to find me a blinking sign that says Jesus. I want to put it on the side of my garage, a big sign that said Jesus. Wouldn't you think you'd find his name somewhere? Amen. I wanted to find, wouldn't you think that you'd find some sign that said Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty. Wouldn't you think that you would find something about Jesus? But Satan in the background. You say, well, that's not important. But if you think about it, I got a little bit more time. The thing is that Christmas after Christmas, day by day, year by year, Christmas after Christmas, don't you know that over the years, over a period of time, more and more people will begin to hear the Christmas story? Oh, it's very significant that Christmas be every year, and let me talk about what it's really about every year. And that people know that it's all about peace. And it's all about Jesus. But we're finding out that Christmas is being lost in the atmosphere of commercialism. I've got a witness. The message is getting lost in the merchandise. And you dig and you look and you can't find too much of nothing. And what you find out is that there is no real substance. Harris, I got to put the brakes on Jesus. Jesus, I can't let this happen because little by little somebody might get saved. And when he found out that he was mocked of the wise men, verse 16, he sent and he had everybody killed. You think You think Christmas is not serious? He did everything within his power to stamp out Christmas, to stop the baby Jesus from being born.